Welcome back to News Talk Tonight with Jim Richards on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Jimmy's not here. I'm Richard Krause sitting in for Jim. He'll be back tomorrow, freshened up, ready to go. And I've just realized why whenever I see Jim in the halls here, he's always wearing a hat. He's always got like a toque of sorts on because it's freezing in this studio at night. I think that's why Jim is in his idiosyncratic way, always kind of decked out in a way that I could never quite understand. But the longer I sit here, the more I'm starting to understand. We have an interesting bit more of radio coming your way. Carmi Levy joins me now. You know Carmi as News Talk Tonight's technology analyst. He is also like my favorite guest. You know that I've had him on whenever I'm sitting in this chair. I love having Carmi on so that we can talk about what's going on in the world of technology, something that affects all of us. But, you know, more often than not, we don't really understand why it's affecting us. So, Carmi, thanks for being here this evening.
Oh, Richard, you're going to make me so verklempt. I just adore you for so many reasons that we don't even have enough time to talk about tonight. But listeners, please know that, like, if you love him, I love him even more. Just for the record.
Well, next time I do this, we'll set aside the whole 4 hours and we'll do that.
It'll be the Richard Krause Mutual Admiration Show. I'm there for you.
So Meta is rolling out paid verification options for Facebook and Instagram users in the U.S. Paid verification, I think, has been a fiasco on Twitter. So it feels to me like it just might be a fiasco over in Zuckerberg land on Facebook and Instagram. What do you think?
Oh, yeah. Fiasco, cash grab, yep. Cynical business move. Take your pick. They're all just another excuse to suck money from us and make us pay for things that they should be given to us for free. Mm-hmm. I am so not into this. Like I think what bothers me is that they're offering things as part of this verification process, this Meta verified, blue checkbox mark, whatever, that frankly they should give us for free. So for example, if your account is hijacked, mm-hmm. they're going to give you extra support and better tools to prevent your account from getting hijacked and to restore it if that happens. And when I saw this announced a few weeks ago, when they first said this is coming, I thought, wait a second, I've had my account hijacked on Instagram. And there was no tech support. There wasn't anything. And I only got my account back because, I pulled some strings because, I know some people. Yeah. And I got it back. And all I can think of is now you're going to make regular people pay for this when you should have made this available to begin with. So I am not a fan of this. Now, first of all, I don't think anyone cares about blue check marks either. Right. But at the same time, this is, yes, you need to make money, not just from advertising, but from subscriptions. But, looking at the Twitter experience, which bombed when they first launched it, and it hasn't really been doing all that well since they relaunched it. They're not even releasing numbers anymore because they basically, I don't know anyone who has it, and I'm pretty sure none of our listeners do either. This is just it's a non-starter. It's coming to the U.S. at $12 a month if you sign up for it on the web, $15 a month if you sign up through an app store, which I don't know who would spend more or spend at all. It just strikes me as one of those things that, it's a problem looking for a solution or maybe a solution looking for a problem. And I know, if I find out one of my friends is signing up for any one of these subscription services, they may not be my friend by the time we're done.
Oh, no, you stage an intervention. You can still be friends.
Maybe we should do that. A nerd intervention. I like that.
Well, it is interesting on Twitter when you've got these blue check marks, because I have seen a few people, my feed's all over the place now. I don't know half the people that are on it anymore, and it's just, it's a mess over there. Mm-hmm. But you'll see someone attack somebody else. They've got a blue check mark, and if you hover over the blue check mark with your cursor, it tells you that they've paid for it, and that has just now become the source of ridicule. If you've paid for one of those blue check marks, it's less than worthless in terms of credibility.
Yeah. Yeah, but see, that's what bothers me is it used to be like if the Twitter gods decided that you merited it, there was nothing that you could do. You couldn't campaign for it. You couldn't really apply. I mean, you sort of could apply for it, but it really wasn't up to you. Your account had to justify it. Yeah. And then they took that away. Nobody earned it anymore. And now anyone with, you know, who wants to pay Twitter $8 a month and has a credit card can get the blue check mark. So that whole concept of validating an account, proving its legitimacy, well, now it's pay to play. And that is a very cynical turn. And what disappoints me is that, you know, Meta had an opportunity to say, hey, maybe let's do something a little bit different. Mm-hmm. What do? They go and they literally copy almost feature for feature what Twitter introduced, which was soundly ridiculed then. So now the whole concept of blue check marks is a joke. And honestly, I don't think more of people who have them. I'm not a really judgy person, you know that, Richard, but yeah. I do kind of think a little bit less. It's like, really, do you really think that people are going to be impressed because you paid for the blue check mark?
Yep.
Come on, people. This is now, we're no longer talking about social media. This is now anti-social media.
Do you think that Zuckerberg has lost his mojo in a certain way?
I think so. It's kind of like, I don't know, and this is going to go back a little bit, and it's going to date me, but Steve Ballmer, when he was the CEO of Microsoft after, of course, Bill Gates decided to leave, and Steve Ballmer kind of never quite sort of found his sort of footing, right. Following in Bill Gates' footsteps, not really there. And I said the same thing then. It's like, you know what? Like, dude, you've done all you set out to do. Mm-hmm. Time to move on. The company needs new blood, needs a new direction. And the guy who replaced him, Satya Nadella, has basically turned Microsoft into an absolute powerhouse. Microsoft is, and disclosure, I used to work for them, but yeah. No longer. He's a visionary, and he's kind of figured out he's let go of the past. And I think Mark Zuckerberg kind of stuck in that past. He's sort of Facebook the way it used to be. He's rebranded the company as Meta, really pushing for the metaverse. The world doesn't want the metaverse. The world wants AI. And I think it's time for Mark Zuckerberg to really think about maybe moving on to something else and giving the reins to someone else who really doesn't have links to history, is willing to roll the dice, willing to sort of take the company and go, you know what? Not the direction we need to be in. Let's come up with something new and fresh. Because right now, Meta, nothing new and fresh. And under Mark Zuckerberg, this is just going to continue.
Yeah, I think about The Social Network, the film, and there's a line in it where he says, as played by Jesse Eisenberg, he says something like, "I'm doing things you couldn't even imagine, and you know, I'm creating something that's going to change the world." And that was then, and this is now.
Exactly. Facebook was introduced in 2004, sort of took root, at Harvard in about the year before then. So yeah, that was definitely then. And the world is completely different now. Smartphones weren't a thing. Mobile access wasn't a thing. So, other social media wasn't leading the web at the time. We were just transitioning into what we called Web 2.0. So, the mindset that made Mark Zuckerberg a visionary genius in 2004, just doesn't play anymore. And I think, leaders of his caliber, and I don't want to discount what he accomplished. He drove social media mainstream. Mm-hmm. He changed the way we communicate. Like, I'll give the guy chops, but it's, the world needs a new revolution and it's not going to come from him. So maybe he should find something else to do and give the reins to someone who isn't so rooted in the past and really is willing to, roll those dice and has a different way of looking at things. Because if you're always looking to the past, you're never going to be competitive in the future.
We just have a minute left. Could Facebook become the new MySpace? Fall off the edge of the earth?
I have always said that no company is forever. No mm-hmm. company will dominate forever. And it is entirely possible that the tech giants of today, we will look at them in retrospect 5, 10, 15 years from now, and they will no longer be the dominant players that they are now. And in fact, if you look at the history of the tech space over the last 40, 50, 60 years, look at all the tech giants that rose, dominated, and then fell, and we speak about them in past tense, or maybe they're still around, but they're no longer the all-encompassing mm-hmm. giants that they once were. And I think with Meta, that is inevitable. It's and probably faster than other companies in its space, simply because it's the one that's most resistant to change of all of them.
I'm in conversation with Carmi Levy, News Talk Tonight's technology analyst. Carmi's going to stick around for another segment, and we're going to talk about a scratched EV battery. Oh, man, you do not want that in your life, and lots of other stuff. So stay with me. I'm Richard Krause, sitting in for Jim Richards. Jim will be back tomorrow. But in the meantime, you've got me, you've got Carmi Levy. Who could ask for more?
News Talk Tonight is on with your host, Jim Richards, on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Jim is off tonight. I'm sitting in for him. I'm Richard Krause. I'm going to be here for the next hour or so, filling your ears with my voice and the voice of Carmi Levy, who is News Talk Tonight's technology analyst. We just talked about Mark Zuckerberg, and Carmi, I just want to continue just a hair. We don't want to talk about Mark Zuckerberg for another whole segment, but he has been summoned by a parliamentary committee for the third time in 4 years. He's never shown up, so I don't know why we expect that he will this time, but they want to talk about the tech company's threat to block news from Canadians on its social media platforms. I don't know that this is even a story. He just won't show up, right? And that'll be the end of this. Carmi?
He keeps ignoring the requests at all. Am I here?
There you are. You were turned down for a second.
Oh, okay. He's been ignoring them ever since they started asking him. And It's interesting because that same parliamentary committee, this is about Bill C-18, the Online News Act, which would force companies like Google and Meta to pay for the news content, the good journalism that they're carrying on their platforms, but not paying for. So they're making all sorts of money in advertising from all of this content, but not paying the journalists and the media companies that create it, which I say this as a journalist. And yeah, maybe I'm a little biased, but that's kind of pool and it's got to be fixed. Australia introduced a law a couple years ago and now they pay, and so that's a good thing. Canada's got one on the books. Hopefully it'll be law by this summer. It's in the Senate now. The U.S. has one that's pending. France, the U.K., Germany, everyone's going in that direction. But of course, big tech doesn't want to pay because they've been getting a free ride for decades. So the only reason I think they're asking Mark Zuckerberg to come to Canada, or at least appear on a Zoom meeting or maybe Facebook Live, is that last week they did the same thing with Google. They asked all their senior leaders to come. And first, they only sent the manager from Canada. And then they had the meeting. And then they decided they relented. Google said, maybe we're being a little too much of a bully. We'll send two of our senior executives next time. We'll hold another meeting. So Google's coming to Canada. Not Sundar Pichai, not their CEO, but still. So I think they probably figured, hey, if Google's having a change of heart, maybe we'll do the same thing with Meta, but I'm not betting any mortgage payment on this one. Mark Zuckerberg still ain't coming, and there's nothing that Canada can do to force him to come. He's not a big fan of us, and quite frankly, I don't think we are of him.
So from Mark Zuckerberg to Jeff Bezos, Amazon laid off 9,000 people today. The 9,000 layoffs, this follows 18,000 layoffs that happened not so long ago. The latest cuts focus on Amazon's highly profitable cloud and advertising divisions, once seen as untouchable until economic concerns led business customers to scrutinize their spending. What's going on here?
Well, what's happening here is, in general, when the pandemic hit in 2020, all of us kind of shifted our lives over to digital tools, digital platforms. And so those companies grew like gangbusters, had to hire on people left, right, and center. Amazon basically doubled in size. They were up to about 1.6 million staff by their height late last year. And then now what's happening is, of course, we're all going back to the office, sort of, all going back to the mall, going back to a bit of a regular life. And so now that we're on the far side of the pandemic, demand for those services is starting to drop. Advertising that goes along with that demand is starting to drop as well. And so they're doing what's called right-sizing, which everybody is doing. Every major tech company has announced some kind of pullback over the last few months. What's different here is that normally you just do it once. You just announce one big number, big scary number, and then you get rid of everyone and you go on with your lives. This time, this is the second round. And so Meta did the same thing, one round, then two. Now Amazon's doing the same thing. So kind of surprising. Basically, it means they didn't count right when they first decided how many to lay off. And now they're doing it again. But the good news is they're still much larger than they were when the pandemic started. Right. So it's, and they're still making, of course, billions of dollars. What's different is now some of their businesses are not growing. And so they're just, they're paring the fat, things that they used to get away with. Ah, you know, we're making so much money, we can afford to lose billions of dollars on Alexa speakers, you know, or Echo speakers in the Alexa unit. Now they're saying, no, we're going to have to become a lot sharper with our knives and a lot more careful about what we spend money on. So that's just a reflection of that. But I'm not holding a garage sale for Amazon anytime soon. Jeff Bezos is still doing just fine.
It's kind of interesting to see the world of tech kind of fall prey to the same sorts of layoffs, the same sorts of business as other businesses. You know, tech has so often just, you know, blossomed so quickly, and it was really cool. You'd have pinball games in your machines in your office, and you know, the people that worked for you were treated differently than you might have been at other more sort of traditional companies. And now all that stuff seems to be going away. And they're just becoming companies, you know, massive companies like the ones that came before that they were trying to disrupt.
Yeah, it's interesting because increasingly they're not just tech companies, they're advertising companies. And of course, if you're selling advertising, then you are much more exposed to the cycles of business that are out there, because then the companies that pay most of your revenue, well, they're going to spend less on marketing than they would have when times were good. So right. I often call the tech industry now kind of like almost like the canary in the coal mine. If you want to see where the economy is going a year or two from now, look at tech now. And you know, the first winds of change often start to blow in tech, because tech is usually the first thing that we stop buying. Oh, my computer, I'm going to hold on to it a little bit longer. I'm not going to increase what I spend on the services. So that's kind of what we're facing now. But the good news here is tech, unlike other industries, can still invent new stuff that we didn't even think we needed before. So I'm not going to worry too much about tech. Yeah, there is a bit of a downturn, but it's not going to bottom out to the same degree of other sectors. I'm still going to keep working in tech because I'm also afraid of getting laid off.
Right. So EV batteries, you scratch it and your insurer says, hey, you got to junk the whole car. We just got a couple of minutes. Can that possibly be true? I mean, the battery is about 50% of the price of the car. It's expensive, but man, that seems brutal.
It's a huge problem. Reuters, the wire service, doing some research into it, and they realized that, you know, for example, when you buy a Tesla, the battery is an integrated part of the car. It's a structural battery pack. Yeah. So you can't just pop it out and pop it in. And in many cases, insurers, rather than deciding to repair the car, they're like, it's just not worth it. We're gonna total it. It's gonna go to the scrapyard. Of course, this isn't sustainable. What's worse for you and me, though, is it means that insurance rates for EVs are starting to go up because insurers are starting to get skittish. It's going to cost them a lot more if they need to replace the battery. And in many cases, the automakers aren't providing data on the batteries to the insurers. So the insurers, well, they're worried. They're like, I don't see the data that tells me that the battery is still safe even after a small fender bender. So even though there's just a small dent in the car, we're still going to total it because I'm an insurance company. I don't want to get sued. So the industry is still figuring out EVs. And unfortunately, if you're an early adopter, as cool as electric vehicles are and as green as we think they are, they're not as green as we think they are. Mm-hmm. And in many cases, it's going to cost us a lot more, especially if that battery either gets damaged or is somehow compromised and we need to replace it. That is fiercely expensive, and most of us simply can't afford it.
Carmi, as always, what a pleasure to speak to you.
So great being here, Richard. I really appreciate being here.
Well, we'll talk to you again soon. The next time I'm sitting in this chair, we'll get you back on.
I look forward to it. Thanks.
Talk to you soon. That was Carmi Levy, News Talk Tonight's technology analyst. When we come back, it's the slow news day. We're going to go through a number of stories and just decide whether they're newsworthy or not. And I'm the guy. I'm the judge. I'm the one that's going to make that decision. Tony Tedesco is in the other room. He's got a bunch of stories that, man, I don't know if they cut the mustard or not. We'll get to that when we come back just after 10 o'clock. I'm Richard Krause sitting in for Jim Richards. He'll be back tomorrow night. You're listening to News Talk Tonight right now. Stay with me. Lots more to come.